and that's what Rosa Parks did. She knew that as long as she waited for other people to change, whether it be the white community in power or the black community struggling to unite, she was in a helpless position. But if she herself, with or without anyone else's cooperation, did something different... In December 1955, Rosa Parks left work and went to the bus stop. It was time to go home, and she was tired. When the bus stopped to pick her up, she did as she always had. She entered through the front door, paid the bus fare, then went back out of the bus and re-entered through the back door, the colored entrance. Mrs. Parks then proceeded to take a seat on the fifth row, which was the first row of the colored section. Then the bus began to move. Over the course of more stops, the bus started to fill up. Before it reached Mrs. Parks' stop, the bus was completely full. That meant her fifth row was filled with two African Americans on the right side and two across the aisle on the left. Then, at the next stop, a white gentleman entered through the front door. There were no seats available in the first four rows. They were all taken up by other white people. So the man, as was customary, went to sit in the fifth row. Now, the segregation laws of the time stated that persons of color were forbidden to A, sit in the white section, B, share a seat in the colored section next to a white person, or C, sit across the aisle from a white person. This meant that when the white man moved to sit in the full fifth row, all four persons of color had to get up, by law, and stand in the back of the bus. Three of them did. Rosa Parks, calmly, did not. Mrs. Parks did not intend to be a hero. She just did not want to continue her part of the pattern. She did not want to give up her seat, and she absolutely would not budge. She would later say that she felt a wave of determination fall over me like a blanket. She made no loud protests. She issued no bold demands. According to witnesses, she didn't even make an upset face or a frown. She did not ask anyone else to change for her sake. She simply refused to move. And when the bus driver informed her that he would have to have her arrested, Rosa Parks uttered her version of that one sentence that starts every significant change. "Then you go ahead and do what you need to do, but I'm not moving." And the rest is glorious history. Her trial and conviction led a 26-year-old minister from Atlanta to organize a 381-day bus boycott, crippling the local transportation industry and creating a national civil rights movement, a true revolution. In this program, I make a promise that you can, indeed, start a revolution in your home. I sometimes hesitate to use that language because I would never want to cheapen the memory and inspiration of true revolutionaries like Rosa Parks and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But what we're talking about here is bringing to a similar end the destructive patterns that have driven some families for generations. What we're talking about here is creating new patterns of influence and intimacy that can transcend the reactionary dialogues and messages that fill our brainwaves and airwaves. What we're talking about is learning to create the relationships we've always craved by simply learning to focus on ourselves, calm ourselves down, and grow ourselves up. I'm not sure what anyone else is going to do, but this is what I'm going to do. Now, it's up to you. Reflection questions on Chapter 12. Number 1. What do you think of when you hear the word revolutionary? Number 2. What type of resistance do you think you might encounter as you begin to change yourself? Number 3. What is one scream-free principle you can focus on this week? How might you go about practicing that principle today? Number 4. What type of a relationship environment do you want to create in your home? Describe each relationship and what patterns you would like to change in order to revolutionize it. Number 5. What is one pattern you would like to end? What is your part of that pattern? What is one thing you could do differently, even without the cooperation or support of anyone else, that would change that pattern today? This is Hal Edward Runkle. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Scream-Free Parenting, a revolutionary approach to raising your kids by keeping your cool, by Hal Edward Runkel. This program was directed by Lewis Milgram, executive producer Sherry Huber. The program was recorded and edited at John Marshall Sound. Text copyright 2007 by Scream Free Omnimedia, LLC. Production copyright 2007, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.